We appreciate the good songs that were sung, the choir, Brother Ron's poem. Everything just kind of fits together. And that's because of the fact that when we come together, we've got our minds set upon one thing, and that's to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Glad to be here this morning. Notice that the weather was a little bit cooler, so that means fall is on its way. And I say that, and then probably it'll turn off 90 degrees again. But at any rate, we're glad and thankful that God gives us these seasons, seed time and harvest in one place, and winter and spring. Everything goes according to His plan. We think of the scripture that says over in Isaiah chapter 40, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's an unconditional promise from God today. We hope that you'll take with you. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to begin our reading lesson with the very first verse. Whenever that we consider Joshua, Joshua was kind of the last of the leaders to take the children of Israel on into the land of Canaan. Moses had already passed off of the scene. He has gone to his eternal home, and so Joshua is going to lead or going to bring them up to this point in Shechem. And as he does this, his time has come that he steps off of the scene. He has partitioned out all of the land of Canaan to each one of the tribes of the children of Israel. But he also knows that as they go into the land of Canaan, that maybe they have harbored, or maybe they have carried with them some old habits where that they had kind of worshipped on the side some of the gods of Egypt, where that they'd come from. And soon they would go into the land where that idolatry was just widespread, where that the Amorites, the most formidable of all of them, where that they worship false gods. They worship gods like Moloch, and they would sometimes even incorporate that later, we'll find, in their worship, the gods of Moloch, Dagon, the god of the Philistines, and Ashtoreth. And we find that all of those gods, Baal, will kind of be a thorn in the side of the children of Israel as they try to go on and serve the true and the living God. So he gives them an admonition. He tells them where they've come from, but also where they're going. And so, starting with the first verse, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Now, Shechem was one of the first places that when Abraham came into this land, that he offered sacrifice and offering unto God. And they called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, for their officials. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron. I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and with horsemen. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea unto them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness for a long season. I have brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Egypt and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, and therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan, came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, not with thy sword and not with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities that ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted, planted not, those do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. This is going to be one of several times that a prophet or a leader like this is going to call them to question and ask them, if the gods of these nations that you are involved with and that you're going into, if those are gods, serve them. But if the Lord God Jehovah be God, then serve him. In other words, don't be held between two opinions. You can't serve Baal on one hand and then serve Jehovah on the other. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, those gods, the gods of Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that 15th verse is going to be our text this morning, particularly the very last phrase, we will serve the Lord. Who are we serving today? Someone will say, Brother Kofor, we're serving the Lord God. But down in our heart, who are we serving? Down in our very soul, who do we give our allegiance unto? Life is full of choices. Choosing what kind of car that you're going to drive. I would go down the line, but I might confuse somebody who's going to go buy a car. But I'll give them all as much as I can. Equal opportunity. Are you going to choose a Chevy? Going to choose a Ford? Going to choose a Toyota? Or are you going to choose a, passenger car? Are you going to choose a truck? Whenever that it comes down to other choices, what are you going to choose? The type of career. What career will you choose? Who will you work for? Who will you give your substance unto and your very being unto? And whenever that it comes down to choosing a spouse, who will you choose? And so this is what has been conveyed unto the children of Israel. He said, you're going to go into a land where that they sacrifice their children unto their gods. You're going to go into a land where that their worship today is very, very vile. It always involves a sexual element to it, which God has warned you not to partake of. You're going to go into a land where that these people do not want you. And you know, when you think about it, whenever that God drove them out, that is the Amorites and so on and so forth, God had given them about 400 years. 400 years. While the children of Israel were down in Egypt, you read over into Genesis, and you'll find that there were some of them, some of their ancestors, that worshiped the true and the living God. They worshiped the Almighty. But somewhere along the line, they began to serve other gods. And even though that we have choices, we need to be careful. And I'm not here to chastise or anything like that. But we have to be on our guard, so to speak, as to what we serve. Now, Joshua said, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And he kind of left it like that, that the ball was in their court. They could either serve Baal, Ashtoreth, Molech, Dagon, all of those gods, or they could serve the true and the living God. And so we find that this type of choice, they sometimes chose the very wrong thing. But I believe with all of my heart that there is a benefit to serving God with all of our heart. Sometimes our worship seems like, oh goodness, it's Sunday. Gotta go to church. Better go to church. You know, better do this, better do that. Sometimes that enters into our mind. But I want you to know that there is a benefit unto serving God. And we don't serve God for what we can get out of him. He's not a magic genie that we rub the lamp and here he appears and says, okay, what do you want, Paul? What can I do for you today? But it's rather, Lord, what can I do for you? And I believe with all of my heart that serving the Lord begins in worship and in devotion. Now, worship is not always like we're going to listen to a sermon from the preacher. But worship also is involved in what do I fix my mind upon in the first few hours of the day? And whenever that I go to bed at night, what do I fix my mind upon? Who do I pray to? Who do I give my attention to? Who do I give my devotion unto? Deuteronomy tells us in one place in the old law, it says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee? God requires something of us. We've been saved by the grace of God. And I'm not saying that you necessarily have failed God, no. But be aware whenever that we continue to go in to the Canaan, the culture that we have ahead of us, there are going to be those gods of the culture, those gods of the society, those gods of what the proper thought and the proper thing to embrace is going to be. Those are going to be set before us. And before too long, I even find myself kind of going along with it, kind of giving heed unto it. But I want you to know that he says in Deuteronomy, he said, "Now Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee? First of all, to fear God. Stand in awe of the Lord God, who is likened unto him." Well, he doesn't speak very often, but my friend, God's silence does not mean that he is not powerful. God's silence does not mean that he does not take heed unto your prayers and unto the needs today. Fear the Lord, and he said, walk in his ways and love him with all of your heart and your soul. Do you love the Lord with all of your heart? He saved your soul. Think about it. I can never repay him for what he's done, and I'll never be able to repay him. But I do feel there's a part of me today that wants to please him, that wants to serve him, however that it might be. Paul said over in one place, he said, "I beseech you, brethren," the 12th chapter of the book of the Roman letter, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." Present your bodies. Now, he's not saying you go out and sacrifice yourself like we think of sacrifice, but sometimes we must, and we need to, whenever that we serve God, sacrifice those things that we sometimes give ourselves over into, and we just come plain before God. And we say, "Lord, here I am. You can have all of me. You can use all of me. Just direct me as to where that you want me to go. Who do you want me to speak to? Who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to open the door?" You know, just a small thing pleases God. And whenever that we do it with all of our heart, and we do it with all of our soul, there's a blessing. There's a blessing in serving God. As we said before, there's a blessing that God gives us and bestows upon us. Not that we're deserving of it today, but because just the very fact that we serve him is a blessing in and of itself. David was a man that was after God's own heart. Did you know that today? Now, we'll be going to see shortly, this next month, a depiction of what David is like. And I don't know why that they sometimes center upon this, but they'll go through his life, and they come down to where that he sinned, and they just kind of gravitate to that. But I want you to know that David loved God so much that there was nothing that David would not do for God. He spent his time out tending the sheep, learning how to handle them, learning how to lead them, developing a love for them that he would defend them with his very life. And then whenever that he would compose the Psalms or the songs of Israel, do you know what they centered around? God. They centered around the Lord God, what God does, how God loves us, how that God directs our pathways, and even whenever that we're sorrowful, and whenever David was sorrowful, he would offer up in those Psalms a prayer unto God. David was, I guess we would say in our modern vernacular, David was obsessed with serving God. And that kind of obsession is not altogether wrong. In fact, it's very good. One of the songs that David talks about serving God in the 100th Psalm, he said, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." Whenever that he sung of service, he sung of coming into the presence of God. I'm thankful that we can come into the very presence of Almighty God. Now, I want you to know that when we do, my friend, I want you to know that God is in this place. You know where the Bible says in one place? It says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Think about that. Now, right now, we've got two or three beat, don't we, by numbers. And I'm sure that everybody else is probably the same mind. God is present with us. He's with us. You might say, well, I don't feel Him. I've heard people, and it used to kind of get to me, because as a kid and as a young preacher, I thought, well, I can't really do anything until the Spirit of God arrives here. But do you know, every time that we meet, the Spirit of God is with us. There's as much God, there's as much Jesus, there's as much Holy Spirit as the triune that sits in heaven right now. And someone will say, well, I don't feel Him. Well, when you draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. Whenever that you give your heart and your mind over unto Him, He will give His heart and His very being unto you. And I know I've been praying very hard for this fall, because I'm obsessed with football. And I know that sometimes I'll probably come to church with this on my mind, well, they're going to be playing in Detroit today. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord, please help them. Please help them. I find myself praying for a game. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, this is God we're talking about. This isn't, my friend, I'm going to rub this vial and God's going to answer the request, and He's going to have them win. And if they happen to win, it's like, well, God, you answered the prayer. They beat the Lions. No, that's not what it's about. And in all due respect, Brother Ron, it's not about who finishes at Daytona either. I don't mean anything bad by that. But anything can get between us and God. And I know that we put Him first by the very fact that you're here serving Him today. By the very fact that you're devoted unto Him in this service. And keep that devotion. Keep that determination. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to keep my mind, my heart upon Him continually. Now, there's nothing wrong with some of the things that are in the world that we like to do. But I'll tell you, there is nothing like the Spirit of God just opening up something out of the Scriptures. Or searching something and asking God, Lord, what do you mean by this? I don't understand it. And then later, have God. And I want to tell you, He wrote it. He penned it down. And He can interpret it. And He can bring the understanding to it. And you might say, well, preacher, what proof do you have of that? Well, there was an Ethiopian eunuch that had been sacrificing on one of the holy days down in Jerusalem, reading out of the book of Isaac, couldn't understand who that the writer was writing about. You know, and he pored over it until a messenger from God hopped up into his chariot and found where he was reading. And he said, here, O mighty counselor, who God is talking about. He's talking about Jesus, the Messiah. He's talking about one that suffered for us, who gave His life's blood for us. And you know, that man in the chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch, went all the way from not having an idea whatsoever what this scripture was about to coming to a pool of water and saying, what doth hinder me from being baptized? I'd say change took place. That's what the Spirit of God can do. And that's what He can do in opening our understanding and our pathways and our everything that we need in order to serve God. I always think about servants. I never had one. And I'm sorry, Shirley, I don't think of you that way, but I watch Downton Abbey and some of those, and I think about, gosh, those footmen stand right at the table, you know? And if Lord Chatham happens to drop a spaghetti noodle on the floor, here comes one, you know, he's serving it. And, you know, that's how I want to be with the Lord. As the Lord sits at his table, as the Lord moves, I want to be there to do whatever that he wants me to do. If he wants me to sweep out the foyer, I'll sweep out the foyer and I'll do it praising God. If he wants me to wave at people as they come along on the highway, I'll do it with all of my heart, with everything that is within me. I want to serve him. I want to do whatever that he wants me to do. And we not only serve him in that way by our devotion unto him and our love for him, but we serve him in obedience and in faithfulness. Jesus said over in one place these words. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, I thought Jesus did away with the law. No, Jesus came to fulfill the law so that through him, we might be able to fulfill the law if we are in Christ Jesus. But his commandments just bear upon two things. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, on these two things hang all the law and the prophets. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then later he says, love one another as I have loved you. And do you know what that means? Sacrifice. Laying down my ideas, laying down my opinion. God has trained me to the extent that I don't take opinion about the appearance of people or what they may be thinking or where they come from or anything like that. They are a child. They are made in the image of God. They may need salvation. They may be destitute. They may be homeless. They may be angry. They may have broken the law. They may have done all of a number of things. Even across the waters, they may have slaughtered thousands of their fellow citizens. But deep down inside, they're a soul that needs God and needs to be saved. And I want you to know that's one of the things about all of this that is so precious. Being obedient and faithful under the command of God to go into all the world and to take the gospel unto each and every one of us. Then we serve God by serving one another. You ever been in a foot washing ceremony? One of the most humbling things that a person can partake of. Now, I'm not suggesting or saying that we need to do that, but when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he said, "Do you know what I have done?" He said, "I have washed your feet, yes. But," he said, "as I have done, ye ought to do also." Now, it encompasses more, and I'm not going to take my shoes off. But anyway, it's more than just washing somebody's feet physically. Sometimes we can wash one another's feet by bearing their burdens, by listening to what they have to say. The world may say about this individual over here, well, he's not even of a right mind. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's probably been medicated or whatever, and that's the way that he acts and everything, and he'll waste your time. But you know, sometimes confession is good for the soul, and that individual may need an ear for him to listen to and a tongue to pray for him. We're to serve one another. Each other. I'm to serve you. I'm to do the best I can. Bible tells us over one place in Matthew chapter 25, and the king shall answer and say in that day, whatsoever you have done to these, the least of my brethren, ye have done unto me. Paul even sums it up and says in one place in the book of Philippians, he says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, do you know what Christ came to do? He didn't come to just do miracles alone. He didn't come that he might topple the Roman Empire. No. He said, the Son of Man is come that he might seek and save that which is lost. The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. There's our example today. There is whom we look to. I don't know what Christ looked like. I don't know if he's as we depict him in pictures. I think that might be, but I'll tell you what the Bible emphasizes today is to walk in his steps, is to serve God as fervently, not only as David, but as Christ did. Let this same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I've not come to be served. I've come to serve. And he says, he being in the form of God, and it goes on and it says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he's part of the triune. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God came down from heaven, was born of a virgin, and my friend dwelt among us. And the Bible says in one place that we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And he took upon himself the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. He came to serve. And you know, today, if we could just get a hold of that in our everyday life, I've come to serve. How can I serve you? How can I do something that will lift your load today? I'll leave this with you. I am so thankful for these prayer requests that come before us today. There's one way to serve. That is to take them to the throne of grace, to take them before Almighty God, to say, Lord, I'm not coming here for something for me. I'm coming here because Brother Bill has asked me to pray for him. I've come here today because Brother Sean needs my prayers, or Brother Stephen, or whoever that it might be. And I want to tell you, believe it or not, my most blessed times in prayer has been when I'm praying for somebody else. When I'm praying for somebody else, praying for the lost, praying for this one in church and that one in church. And you can ask my wife, and I'm going to close. Sometimes I'll be studying, and somebody will come to mind, and down on my knees I'll go. Like, I don't know why, but Lord, you said to pray for this individual, for this person. Pray for them. There may be something going on with them. And Paul, I need you to pray for them. So as we close, our few remarks. I don't know about anybody else in this world, what they're going to be doing, what they will do, but I do know this. As much grace of God as there is within me, like Joshua, I'll serve the Lord. I won't serve the Amorites, Perizzites, Girgashites, and every kind of ites you can think of. I'm going to serve the true and the living God. God bless you is my prayer.